Welcome to Dark Mode, the show that brings you sage advice from two technology experts. But that's not just what we call ourselves. It's what our moms tell people when their iPhone is 7 years out of date. I'm your host, Luke Miani.
And I'm your host, Noah Rubin. On the show, we take questions from listeners, attempt to answer them to varying degrees of success, and maybe even have a laugh or two along the way.
And I'm not joking, by the way, when I say that people, specifically our moms, tend to have phones that are maybe not 7 years out of date, but I feel like every time I go to my parents' house, I'm like, okay, why are we still running Mavericks? Why are we still running the most ancient versions? And there's like 17, please update, like, yeah. I beg of you, I'm going to die, please update me notifications. But on the other side of that is us, because we're over here obsessing over the minutia of every little detail in each iOS update. And we're expecting a big one this year. iOS 18, AI. I'm excited. WWDC is going to be a biggie this year.
It's going to be a big one. We've heard a lot of different rumors. Obviously, like the AI, and we're going to talk about Apple Intelligence as well. That was one of the big leaks that came out. That's a really big thing. There were some of those other smaller ones that we talked about, like the increased customization. But all signs point to there being some pretty big software improvements this year, which is very exciting.
Yeah, and it's a big one. I mean, Mark Gurman is saying that this year is the biggest update to iOS ever. That's what he was claiming. Which, honestly, that's a high bar. I mean, think of how many banger iOSs we've had. Five? Well, six.
Yeah.
Six was huge. Seven.
Seven was big.
You could argue that four was really big, because that was wallpapers, multitasking, voice control. And then more recently, well, since seven, what would be the biggest ones? Maybe 12?
Maybe, or maybe, I'm trying to think, like 14 was widgets, so that was kind of big. Interesting, but like nothing, I don't know, I feel like nothing
groundbreaking.
Yeah, nothing super huge.
Really, in the last 7 years, I would say since the iPhone 10 design language, which was kind of an iOS thing because it needed new software to work for
that's fair. Actually, yeah, like the control center being in the corner and the bar that you, like all those gestures, I'd say that was a big one, and probably the last big one that there's been.
And that was weird, though, because iOS was, of course, announced months beforehand at WWDC, but it was really meant for the iPhone that came out later that added those features that you couldn't get on other iPhones at the time. But yeah, I mean, pretty much since the iPhone 10, we've had a lot of incremental updates, but not all at once. And it seems like this year we could be looking at quite a number of features all happening at the same time. I mean, we've got AI emojis. We've got the ability to rearrange the app order. And finally, for the first time ever, not have it be locked to a grid. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a really big one, especially with how big the lock screen customization has become since Apple added the when did they do that? The whole time and widgets on the lock screen. Was that 14?
No, that was 15 or 16 or something.
Must be 15. I don't think it was 15. Last two. I don't know. I wish Sam was here. He would tell us for
Sam
sure.
Sam would know exactly.
He would have it. He'd be like, oh, well, Brian, you know, they added that. That was at 29 minutes and 30 seconds of the keynote at WWDC. He would know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
But that was a big one, and it added a lot of customization. And, you know, people have, like, specific wallpapers that are meant to have widgets in a certain order. I think we're going to see that a lot now with the lock screen, with the home screen as well, because finally you can make a page that isn't just apps from top to bottom. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people want this because there's that, like, you know, that workaround where they make like the widgets that are like the same background as your, like, the image of your background, so it like blends in. And they like do all this stuff to like be able to have that customization. So I think there are a lot of people that do that, and they're gonna like this increased customization. Now, for me personally, not a huge deal for me, because I don't mind having the stuff be in a grid, but like I think it's still cool, right? Any you know, any increased customization is always a good thing. I think a lot of people are gonna like it because that's people like to customize their phones and have, you know, make it really like theirs, and I think that'll be cool.
Yeah, I mean, that's and seemingly that's only scratching the surface from what we've heard. Now, before we get into it, we had a couple of super chats that I want to get to.
Yeah.
So the first one, we've yet another question for Noah over here.
Another programming question. So they're just asking, as a Google software engineer, do you need to know Python or more languages? Is Python only enough? Python is one of the languages that is used at Google. There's a bunch of different languages that are used, C++, Java, Dart, if you ever heard of it. A bunch of languages. You can just use Python. There are teams that just use Python. It's great for like machine learning and AI stuff. So Python is great, and I mean, it's my preferred language for interviewing. So you can interview in Python, you can solve LeetCode problems in Python. And what else? I would say part of the interview process is showing your coding. This is like so far off topic, but I'll try to keep it brief. Part of the interview process is showing your coding skills, but there's also part of it is, you know, talking about your past experiences and, you know, how you would fit into the culture. It's called googliness. I'm not joking about that.
Really?
I think they talk about this in the interview movie. I think they say that word, but it is a real word.
Oh my God.
It's basically just like a fit, like are you a good fit for the company? So if you can practice those, like, they call them soft skills, but they're very important, like how to communicate effectively and like get your point across and you know, summarize things and say things concisely, but you know, still get all the facts in there. That's also something that's really important.
Good. We got a little bit of job advice in this episode.
I know. We love to hear it. Not expected.
Yeah. And then also another follow up. I will be in Greece this summer. Luke, any meetups with your Greek friends who love you? Athens Airport. Honestly, I didn't even think about that because I didn't think that there were very many people in Greece that watch my channel. I guess I could find out.
Yeah.
Let's go into the analytics here. Let's see. In the last 90 days, let's break down by geography and find out how many viewers I had in Greece. Okay, doing quite a bit of scrolling here. We're very far down the list.
There it is.
0.6% of my views have come from Greece. 24,000 in the last 90 days. So something tells me a Luke Miani meetup in Greece might not be very highly attended.
No.
But we can try, I guess. I don't know. Maybe.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Could be fun. We've got another super chat here. Is Apple Intelligence even trademarked? I couldn't find it in the trademark office's search. That's a good point because we have this expectation that Apple is going to do a lot of stuff with AI, but we don't know if that's going to be... I feel like there's a couple different options, right? You've got, on the one hand, there's an LLM, which has been done before, and that seems to be a pretty popular approach to it now, but I'm not actually sure Apple's going to do that. I mean, going back to the super chat here, Apple Intelligence, I'm sure they're going to have a name for the like underlying technology that is implemented in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
I can't imagine it would be Apple Intelligence.
You don't think that's the name?
I mean, that's a bit on the nose, don't you think? It's literally AI.
That's true. I feel the thing that I feel about this is I don't see Apple using words like I mean, I guess they say AI. Apple will say AI, but like I think the whole thing about this is that Apple doesn't want to associate what they're doing with the larger sort of AI scene that has those problems. Like the things like, you know, open like ChatGPT and Gemini, whatever, that like will hallucinate things, whatever. Apple doesn't want those kinds of things in their system. So I could see them coming up with a name. First of all, Apple loves marketing names. We know this.
Even if they're a bit lazy.
Yeah, even if they have their word bank and they pick. Although this is a new one. Apple Intelligence would be a new one.
They have to find a new name.
Yeah.
Well, they do. They have Neural Network.
That's true. Neural Engine.
It could kind of Apple Neural Interface. Could call it Annie for short.
They could do that. I don't know. But I do think that they'll have some marketing name for it. That first of all, it's a marketing name that Apple likes to do marketing names. But also it will sort of separate them a little bit from everyone else, even though it's just a marketing name and they're not really different, it'll separate them in the minds of, you know, average consumers that know what they know about AI from, you know, what's popular, and you know, they'll know that Apple is similar but a little bit different.
I could see it. I could see it. I mean, I don't even know, man. Yoshi's brother snapped my old MacBook in half. No joke. Did you know that?
I do now. I'm incredibly sorry to hear that.
And yet another super chat here. Do either of you want an early 2013 MacBook Air? Is it snapped in half? I don't know.
Yeah, is this is the crucial information of the other guy?
Yeah, maybe he snapped it and then is now trying to get rid of the evidence. I'm just saying, we've got quite the saga unfolding here with the super chats.
Yeah.
But oh no, it's gonna be called IAI. That's a bit rough.
I think it's good that Apple moved away from the I prefix just in time, or else they would have had to call it IAI, and that would not be good.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though, because like I feel like the I thing was good. I liked that.
Yeah,
and then classic. They kind of got rid of it, but they didn't really get rid of it. I think the real turning point was the iWatch.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, I think they made the right call, because I think Apple Watch just works better than iWatch. For some reason, I can't quite put my finger on it, but iWatch sounds kind of like a cheap toy.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the same ring as iPhone, iPod, iMac, iMusic, even iTunes.
iMusic. Not...
I mean, iTunes was iconic, but then they moved to Apple Music. But they didn't move to Apple Phone.
That would be weird.
Or Apple Mac. Or Apple Pad.
You know what I can't... Here's my question, though. How much of that... So we say it's like... Okay, I feel like Apple Phone sounds really weird. How much of that is the fact that it's been... That we've no iPhone for 15 years or however long it's been. And like... And that's part of it. Like maybe Apple Phone doesn't actually sound that bad, but it just sounds different than what we've heard for so long that we think it sounds bad. I don't know how much of that is part of it, you know?
It very well could be, because people, even still, I will hear people refer to it as the iWatch.
That's crazy.
Like, it for some reason, yeah, look, someone actually just put that in the chat here. Bro, people still call it the iWatch. It kills me. Yeah, it literally... It tends to be older people.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a boomer thing. I'm not hating. I'm just saying. That's the only people I've ever heard call it the iWatch since 2017. But, nonetheless, that could very well be a part of it. It could just be because we've heard iPhone for so long that anything other than that sounds weird. Yeah. In much the same way that when you think about... The iPhone names, like right now we're talking about the iPhone 16 coming out in a few months.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, like, oh, hey, bro, you get the new iPhone 26? Oh, no, I'm still on the iPhone 23. Like, it just sounds like nonsense to me.
Yeah, I feel like maybe is it the three-syllable? Have we had a three-syllable number yet? Like, we've had the iPhone, like, 2, 11. 3, 4, 11. iPhone 11, but that's fine.
16, 7, 18, 19, 20. No, yeah, 11's the only three syllable.
But that's 11. So 11's like
11 doesn't pass. Count.
And but even iPhone 20, that's two syllables. But iPhone 20 sounds like silly.
It does sound silly. And iPhone 21, that's only two syllables. Well, technically it's three.
That's three.
But everyone pronounces 20 as like a single like 23.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like two syllables, even though 20 is... Now we're getting into the semantics of grammar, but...
Yeah.
You know, I think it's valid. For some reason, there's something about iPhones numerically greater than 20 that just sound goofy to me.
I agree, and I wonder if it will get less weird as we get closer to it, or if they're gonna come on stage and announce the iPhone 20, we're gonna say, what the heck is this thing? What are they talking about?
What is this nonsense? There's some... It just doesn't... It doesn't work. I don't know what is gonna happen. I mean, maybe they could do, like... Like, NVIDIA, they stopped. they found a different naming scheme, right? There was like the GTX 780, 980, 1080. And then they said, let's do 20.
Yeah.
30, 40, 50. Okay, I could see that. But then, I mean, this is like product version inflation. What happens when they get to the RTX 9080?
Yeah, is it going to be 100?
The 100,080?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't... 10,080?
Yeah, that's...
That doesn't work. I feel like... I think Apple being numerical, except for the iPhone X, was probably a good call. Because I feel like you at least buy yourself 20 years before that sounds too weird.
Yeah.
We got really sidetracked here. We did have another super chat. That free MacBook, by the way, not snapped in half. So that's good to know.
Okay, different person.
Different person, not the brother. That's good to hear. And I think we've got more details about this forthcoming Greek Luke Miani meetup, which is apparently going to just be me meeting this one guy.
Yeah, probably.
I'm pretty sure that's what it's going to be. The Economics Innovation Lab, Imperial College London. Oh,
that sounds very fancy.
That is really fancy.
Very professional.
I went to American University. That does not sound fancy.
It's not real.
Sounds like a college for stupid people.
It sounds like a college like in a movie.
It does, yeah.
Like a foreign movie.
Yeah, yeah, like a French movie.
It's like, oh, I'm going to America to study at American University.
oui, very good. Bring me back a cheeseburger.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. But my _ YouTube is Greek. They'll be in Athens. So when's the meetup? And further questions for Noah?
I am interested to see what economics research you're doing. I'm curious what the overlap would be with Google work in optimization. I'll just say this: Google is a very, very big company, and so on the one hand, I only know a subset of a fraction of what's being done there. But on the flip side, they are probably doing something related to what you're doing. So that's kind of the cool thing, is that they're doing so many. I mean, they're doing self-driving cars, they're doing drone delivery, drones, and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Kind of just doing a bit of everything.
They're just doing everything over there. So I'm sure they're doing. They have a venture capital arm called Capital G. Get the pun? Capital, like capital, like money.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Like capital G, like
the letter is capitalized.
So that's economic related. You can look into that, maybe. I don't know.
There you go. That's good advice. Look at that. We're helping people get jobs. We're helping people get rid of old MacBooks. We're bashing on people's brothers for snapping other people's MacBooks in half. But we should get back to WWDC, because I feel like a lot of the focus this year has been on iOS 18. I've heard almost nothing about VisionOS and macOS or iPadOS or WatchOS
or
tvOS. So what's gonna happen? It's 12 hours from now. We know that iOS is gonna be big, hopefully, but I honestly cannot think of a feature that we've heard about for macOS. Chat, is there anything that you guys have heard about that I'm not remembering? Am I losing my gosh dang mind over here trying to remember what macOS rumors?
I'm trying to think if I heard anything. I don't remember hearing anything.
Yeah, I'm looking up an article here. We've got a Tech Radar. I don't know why my monitor keeps wigging out. That's not great. Never seen that before. Well, I suppose the AI features that we've heard about are probably going to be cross-platform.
It's true. That's true.
Because the weird thing is, I feel like in the last couple of years, we haven't so much been hearing about the new features for iOS, the new features for macOS, the new features for iPadOS, so much as we've heard about the new features for Apple.
Yeah.
And they kind of get implemented across the board, which I think is probably a good way to do it. Like, obviously, there are always going to be certain things that are just like, you know, it's for a phone or it's for a MacBook. But most of the features are cross-platform now, which is really cool. I mean, that is kind of Apple's strongest argument at this point, is because they have that power to basically run your entire digital life. You can have features rolled out across all of your devices that immediately work together super well. That's something that a lot of companies just don't have access to. So I guess macOS is going to get AI emojis.
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Maybe they'll get that recall feature that Windows had, remember?
Yeah, that went super well. And security issue?
No, it's fine.
Oh, it's good?
There's no issues.
Oh, okay. I'm sure Apple would do that. Apple, of all companies, would definitely
do that. Yeah, no, one of the things that Apple would absolutely do is say, hey, we're going to just take screenshots of your screen every 30 seconds and put them in an unencrypted user folder that anyone can access, modify, or delete. And that's fine. That's like... fine.
Yeah.
What were they thinking?
I don't know, dude. That was like, I saw all the, like, people were obviously worried about it when Microsoft announced it. Microsoft was like, no, it's all local on your device. It's totally fine. And then all the people, I saw someone on Twitter, they got like a thing to work fully remotely, so you could like remotely extract all of the recall data off of someone's computer, get all the screenshots and all the, you know, text stuff, whatever. Really funny.
There really you go. Bad. And that, I think, would be a really good feature to add to macOS. Because I think what people really need is more risk. You know, everyone's so used to, oh, my Mac doesn't get a virus. Well, what if it was taking a screenshot of everything that you're doing, and we know what you've been up to, and it's just sitting around waiting for anyone to access? I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah.
And speaking of that macOS, we've got a super chat here. macOS Luke's apartment. I think that's got a ring to it.
Yeah, it would be, I think, the longest name for macOS.
Yeah. Well, I mean, High Sierra is pretty up there.
Or like Mountain Lion.
Mountain Lion was a big one.
Four syllables.
Mountain Lion was a great OS.
It's a classic.
I kind of feel like it's kind of strange that Apple is still giving the names to macOS versions. Because everything else is numerical.
Yeah.
And it kind of feels like the different versions of macOS don't really need their own new names anymore. Because, like, let's be honest, each version of, you know, new, even iOS, iPadOS, macOS, they're not as big as they used to be. And now that's probably because we have mature products now, right? They're not in the growth phase like iPhones used to be 15 years ago. And a lot of the features that were added 15 years ago, let's be honest, by today's standards, are pretty basic.
Yeah.
But I guess Apple is sticking with it. The naming scheme for macOS, one that I heard put out was Redwood. I like that.
Yeah, that's very nice.
macOS Redwood has a ring to it. Someone said Mammoth. That's one that's been rumored for like 7 years at this point.
That's such an easy, I do remember that. And that's such an easy like marketing one. It has to be a big version. You say it's like a mammoth upgrade to macOS.
That's good.
So it has to be a big one, but I could see them using that.
Maybe they're saving it for a bigger update.
Exactly. If that'll ever happen.
Because let's see, this year was Sonoma. I don't think we've really had much of a... we haven't really had any, like, leaks about the names. Probably because it's a lot easier to keep that secret. Like, let's be honest. We get leaks because it's hardware. There's so many people that go into a hardware release that, like, there's bound to be some leaks coming out. But macOS names have never been leaked before. Actually, I did get... someone did send me... Big Sur, like 24 hours before it came out.
Really?
Yeah, but I only noticed it after. I know. I was a pretty colossal L.
But someone,
and it's one that I wouldn't have figured out because an anonymous Twitter account just DM'd me a picture of like a random place in Big Sur. So I wouldn't even have quite honestly known that that's what that was a picture of until Apple announced it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know that.
So if anyone's got any leaks, although now I don't know if I'll ever believe them, because if someone sends me a photo of a random place in California, I'm not going to believe it now.
Yeah.
After I've said this, but you know, that's one way.
If they send it to you and it turns out to be right, maybe you believe them.
Exactly. Exactly. Let's see. It could be a lucky guess, though.
Yeah, could be.
We could always go to macOS Weed.
See, that's part of the thing. Like, the macOS doesn't need to have names. It doesn't need to be named after places. But I feel like it ties in, first of all, with the, like, crack marketing team. They always make that joke. It's part of the fun. And then, of course, the wallpaper is based off of, you know, whatever location they pick. So I see why they do it. I think it's fun. I always like to hear the new name. But I agree. It's like, I think this is more fun and it's more marketing than anything. It could be, they could just name it off the numbers, especially now that they're actually whole numbers. It's not macOS 10 point whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was for so long.
That is an interesting one. I guess they will change up their numbering scheme every once in a while. Because they were at 10.10, 10.11, and then, I mean, I think Big Sur was a good, that was reasonable when they went to 11.
Yeah.
Because 10.10 would have been weird, and it was a really big update with a redesign. So we'll allow it. But I don't think this year's going to be that big. I really think that people need to temper their expectations for the OS features. Because, I mean, what we're hearing now is a pretty big update for iOS and a focus on AI. But we haven't heard anything about iPad OS. We haven't really heard anything. I mean, I was doing a quick search to try to find out if there's any... the people that are writing these rumor roundup articles are really scraping the bottom of the barrel, because the AI powered features that they are putting in, and now this is a macOS article, but these are obviously going to be universal features. AI generated Apple Music playlists, AI assisted writing in Pages, AI assisted slide deck creation in Keynote, AI code writing features in Xcode. Those are just about the most vague and, like, I don't know, maybe they do that type of features. And none of which, well, except Xcode, I suppose, are Mac exclusive.
Yeah.
But actually, if we're going to talk about new features for the Mac, and specifically AI-related ones, one that I would absolutely love is if they put some time into their Pro apps. Xcode, Logic, Final Cut, that would be incredible. Because AI features have been coming out in like Premiere Pro, but Final Cut, nothing. And I think it would be a very, very good idea for them to stay competitive and add some AI features in Final Cut, because I think that's something that I would actually find very useful. We've talked about it before. Neither of us are big like AI chatbot guys, but if you can integrate it into the actual tools, that's when it has the most utility.
I would love to see it in Xcode. Like, not that I use Xcode super often, but when I do my coding for work, there's AI features in the coding editor.
Oh, really?
And it's really, that's the time that I actually use AI. It's just like built in, but like there's a cool thing where if you paste some code in, it will suggest rewriting it to like match the context that's around it. And that sounds like weird, but it's so useful because you copy and paste code all the time. But like if you copy and paste it and it'll be like, oh, like change this variable name, change this variable, whatever. It just suggests that you hit the tab button and it, you know, fixes it.
See, that's that type of feature is exactly what AI should be for.
Yeah.
I think this is my whole crusade, because obviously the AI phenomenon has been, it seemed like it kind of just like dropped randomly in 2022.
Yeah.
And everyone was just kind of like, hey, by the way, everything is about AI now, and you're never going to hear the end of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Literally everyone. My grandmother was asking me about AI. She was born in 1925. She was born the same month as the first television broadcast. And she was asking, hey, what's the deal with AI? That's how universal and big this is. Yeah. But every single one of these implementations, or the vast majority of the way that you know, people on Twitter are like, here's five ways OpenAI can transform your life by leveling up your grind set. Thread emoji. Step one, use AI to create an artificial boss who will pay you money. Like, dude, this is gimmicky, weird nonsense for internet grifters.
Yeah.
In a lot of cases. But tools like that, or tools like in Premiere Pro, you can use AI to cut up. It works mainly, people are using it for podcasts. It basically just cuts out all the dead space, and it can switch cameras based on who's talking.
Oh, that's so cool.
So you could just take your podcast footage, plop it in, hit a button, and probably go through and make sure it's okay. But, like, that is useful.
Oh, yeah.
I personally, I think it's starting to become a bit of like a copy pasta at this point, but people are saying, like, I don't want AI to do the creativity so that I can wash dishes
and answer
emails. I want AI to wash dishes and answer emails so I can be creative.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what features like that are for. Mm-hmm. That's what AI is most useful at doing. I personally don't think that Apple is going to lean into the whole, oh, let AI write an email. Let it autofill your text messages. Let it, you know, write scripts and pages. Like, that is gimmicky to me at best.
No, I agree with you. I think it really is. And I feel like Apple is a good company to do this, despite all that drama around the hydraulic press video. People were like, oh, yes, Apple's trying to stifle creativity and make whatever. That was a whole thing. But despite all that, I think Apple is a company that makes tools for creative people. At least that's what Steve Jobs always said, and that was kind of their whole thing. So I feel like Apple could be a company that would really want to do this right. And that's why, you know, we've said we don't think it's just going to be an LLM that you talk to that'll just, you know, maybe go off the rails and whatever. I really think that Apple's been integrating AI into their products, and maybe now it'll be a bit more overt. It'll be a bit more obvious that it's AI, or more like in your face and less subtle, but still it's going to be in service of the user and not just like go talk to this AI or let this AI do stuff for you that you'd rather do yourself.
Exactly. I agree. And someone here put in a good example of that, color correction AI. That's a great idea.
I would love that, because I don't even know what color correction is. If I ever make a video again, then, you know, that would be great.
Yeah, that's true, because if you don't even know what it is and you can just hit that thing and then it makes it look good. See, what I would want, the way that I interpret this would be, like, let's say you have a multi-camera setup.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously when you have two cameras, especially if they're not the same type of camera, they can always look a little different. So if you can use AI to sort of analyze both cameras and color balance and match everything, that would be really, really useful, because that's something that in almost all situations is done completely 100% manually. Like, you literally have to pull up, you go into Final Cut Pro, you go to the view, you show your video scopes, and you try to match.
This is like gibberish. That's not like...
Oh, this means nothing to me. This is literally just showing the frequency of colors and how they're distributed in the clip. And basically what they do when they're color matching is you overlay these scopes and you just move it around until they line up as best as possible. And I'm like, this is something that I've been meaning to learn for a long time. It's like, you know, it's something that the professionals do, and I know that I should know how to do it. But at this point, I'm like, this is goofy. This is a sign of the past. I'm just going to wait for an algorithm to do it for me.
Yeah.
And not waste my time learning a skill that's going to be obsolete in a couple years anyway.
Yeah, and this literally sounds like the kind of problem that an algorithm should be solving.
Yeah.
Not a person dragging knobs around and guessing.
Same thing with music production. I mean, neither of us really know that much about music production, but yeah, one can imagine that AI can take a lot of those manual, grindy tasks and just do it a little bit better. And the thing is, that is a lot more useful than AI music generators. See, to have an AI, like, I think it just goes back to, like, you're using AI on the wrong side of the equation. we don't need AI to generate a beat. We need AI to mix the beat. We need AI to, you know, remove background noise and isolate vocals and stuff like that. I think that Apple understands that, and that's probably the direction that they're going to go. I don't see a chatbot from Apple ever.
No, definitely not a chatbot. And even if, I mean, something's going to happen to Siri. Because if Apple's doing AI stuff, Siri is their AI, like their, how do I say this? Their implementation of AI. Like the thing, like if you think of AI, there's all those features that are, you know, behind the scenes, autocorrect, whatever, all those things. But Siri is like the personification of AI for Apple. That's how I'm going to say it.
I like that.
Obviously, something's going to happen to Siri if they're doing all this AI stuff. And I still don't think that they're just going to stick ChatGPT in there.
Oh, yeah. Because Michael in the chat here brought up a perfect point for that, which is that if you have to fact check everything that an LLM chatbot, or in this case, digital assistant, does because it's so often wrong, it's not saving you any time. And that's exactly the case. And Apple understands that with Siri, right? Like, there was the whole joke with the AI pin, where they say, how many almonds, how many grams of protein is in this handful of almonds?
Yeah.
And it was wrong in their own official video. Like, they didn't even bother to fact check it. So that's the level that a lot of these AI chatbots and assistants are on. You have to imagine that Apple is not going to push a product that is just like, hey, George Washington is the current president of the United States. Did you know that? Or like the Google search thing where it said that my favorite one was if the cheese isn't sticking to the top of your pizza, putting a small amount of non-toxic glue will hold it down.
I mean, is that wrong though? It said non-toxic. I mean, it's not going to kill you.
It's not going to kill you. I'm sure it'll taste good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I never tried it.
They also said that scientists recommend eating a small amount of rocks every day.
Yeah.
That's a fun one. I mean, that is not something that Apple is going to allow. So by definition, within the limitations of what AI LLMs can do, that to me signals that Siri isn't just going to be a ask it anything and it's just going to come up with something type of thing.
Yeah, And I don't know what Apple's going to do for Siri. I don't know if it'll be some sort of LLM that has a lot of guardrails on it, or if it's going to be something distinct from that. I mean, Siri right now is like basically, I mean, it's very much not an LLM. It's basically you just tell it commands, and like most of the things it'll either do on your device, like, you know, changing the wallpaper or whatever you can do with that. I don't use Siri. I never use Siri.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Never.
Like that. And then like you can look stuff up, and it'll use like, you know, the Wolf from Alpha API to like, you know, tell you how many people live in the United States or whatever. So it's things like that. It's not gonna like generate answers on the fly. So I could see Apple making a more powerful version of this command based interface. And maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they'll have some like fancy term for it. I don't really know AI and machine learning stuff, but I don't think it's going to be an LLM that will just try to answer even if it doesn't know and make stuff up.
Yeah, that is definitely the thing that I don't really know yet is, because we're only 15 hours away from getting our hands on the beta versions of these new iOS, iPadOS, and macOS versions. It makes me wonder how much of this stuff is going to actually be live, right? Because when you're talking about AI features, to me, it seems like a lot of those are not going to go live until September, realistically.
Unless they're on device.
Well, I think that's basically what it comes down to. I think some of the features are going to be on device. Some of the features are going to require a cloud. And I mean, developers, it has to be functional enough that developers can utilize it and implement for it.
Right.
But I can't imagine that on day one, developer beta version 1.0, we're going to have full access to everything. I mean, we're at a point now where Apple will even fully release an entire version of iOS without Freeform and then add that 6 months later.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's a stretch that we might have to wait a little bit to get access to some of these AI features, which I'm okay with because, you know, I want to cover everything thoroughly and not have to rush and cover it all at once. But I will be very curious to see what we can actually install and use tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, like, if we get this customization, home screen customization and, like, all that stuff, that'll be cool to check out. As far as the AI stuff, they definitely have to have, like, obviously third-party apps will be able to integrate with, you know, whatever this new AI stuff is, because they can already integrate with Siri. You can do third-party actions with Siri. And I don't know, like, there was that question at the beginning, how we sort of started this, was there's a super chat that said, maybe will Apple release some sort of API the developers can use to tap into Apple Intelligence or whatever it's going to be called. And there's a chance that it won't be in, you know, developer beta 1 and it might come a little bit later, but definitely before September we'll get a good amount of this AI stuff because developers are going to want to integrate with it and use it in their own, you know, apps and whatever. So we'll definitely get it sooner rather than later, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I think that checks out. That definitely sounds reasonable to me. I don't know. I think the really cool thing about this WWDC is that we have all of these unknowns. Obviously, we've had leaks about specific features for iOS. One that I'm very excited for is scheduling messages in iMessage.
Oh, okay.
That is going to save my life. It's going to save
how?
My life. Because I always... So I'm always very, like, current on notifications.
Okay.
But I'm often late in being able to, like, respond to them or deal with them.
Sure.
So what happens a lot is someone texts me, I read it, I go, oh yes, let me, I'm in the middle of an edit or like driving home or something, but I definitely want to respond to this. Mm-hmm. And I go back and then my ADHD brain forgets about it. And then like a day goes by and I'm like, oh no, I'm a bad person. I should have responded to this.
Sure.
Or another thing is sometimes, you know how sometimes someone texts you something and you see it right away, but if you respond right away, you're going to get into like a live chat.
Yeah.
And sometimes you're like, I don't really have time for a live chat. So I want to respond and give it like 15 minutes because I'm doing something and then I'll respond. So I would love to be able to see a message right away, respond to it and just say, send it in 15 so that I actually have time to like respond to it at that time. You know what I mean?
No, I agree. I think that would definitely be a nice feature. I think there will definitely be some nice little quality of life improvements. That's always a good thing in these iOS versions. Like the big features are exciting, definitely. But like, you know, there's little tweaks that make things better, easier, whatever. Also, always appreciated.
Yeah, I think honestly that is the underrated thing that always seems to be happening these days in iOS. Is it's not so much these massive new like features and things that you couldn't do before.
Yeah.
It's Apple listening to people's complaints, being like, well, this is like a two-tap process and it should be only a one-tap process, and then they revise that.
Yeah.
Or they like rearrange something in Control Center, make it a little more ergonomic. I always appreciate those things. I never remember which iOS versions they came in, but that's honestly, I think, probably a compliment, right? Because it's so intuitive that you don't even think about it. You're like, oh, I can't even remember it when that wasn't a thing. Because it's just so intuitive. It makes so much sense.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Those are the good ones. Let me get to a quick super chat here. We've got Sebastian. Thanks for all you do. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I always appreciate when people appreciate, you know?
Of course.
Man of the people. You got to do it. And we've got more information, yet more information on the meetup.
This is
a different person?
I mean, it's not the same username. It could be the same person, but it's not the same username.
That's interesting. Is it not?
No, it was my...
Oh, yeah, it was my YouTube,
right?
Okay, well, it looks like we've got two people for the Greece meetup, so maybe we're going to have to work that out. I don't know if I'll have time. It's a very... I don't need to get into it now, but there's going to be some interesting content later this summer on my channel and on my car channel, which if you aren't subscribed, this is a good point for me to plug it. I'm going to plug
it.
Let me go pull it up here. I'll show you guys my car channel that I started. I don't talk about it a ton because I'm trying to grow it independently. That being said, I also am very bad at doing a car channel, so I don't upload very often. But if you like cars and tech, it's a very popular crossover topic. Check out the Middle Lane. That's my car channel. I just posted a review. I mentioned it. We talked about it actually on the podcast, the Lucid that I leased.
Yep.
So I had a video on that that went up. I don't have that many videos. This is over the course of literally 2 years at this point, but you know what? It's fine. We'll allow it. Actually, wait, was this only a year? When did I upload this? Okay, yeah, it's been a year and a half, and I've only done a handful of videos, but you know, car content take a long time to make.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to get more into that, so you should go subscribe if you haven't already. What were we talking about in WWDC?
I don't know, scheduling messages.
Oh, little
tweaks.
I was trying to think of other little tweaks. Oh, apparently we're going to get a redesigned settings app.
I think that's good because as much as the current app is usable, it's like kind of a mess. Like if you don't know, okay, like the general page and settings. If you don't know where things, and there is the search bar, which is fine, but if you don't know where things are, you could easily like, there could easily be like multiple places that you could logically think that a certain setting would be. If Apple could simplify things a little bit, I think it could be very nice.
Yeah, I think even just having more like the little icons that they added in iOS. I mean, they've been there the whole time, really. The way that things are kind of grouped together with icons.
Yeah.
I like that. But a lot of times the sub menus are getting so crowded now that it's hard to find stuff within them. So one thing that I've heard is that in general, for example, general is a big old sub menu nowadays. There's a lot going on in there, and it can be a little tricky to find everything. So I think that we're going to get a sort of like homepage style with the different like groupings.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to come to general, but with adding more icons and stuff like that. I think that's one that's going to help a lot.
Even these groupings, the thing that I don't get is like there's this grouping. Okay, wait, so let's just look at this for a second. This part makes sense. Okay, you've got your like network things. You got notification related, but then screen time is in there. I don't know why. That.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
This is like device, like overall device things. That's fine. Why are Apple's App Store and Wallet, why are they in their own separate category? Just the two of them.
Yeah, I feel like maybe you could add more to that category.
I don't get, and then there's like, okay, then there's these built-in apps here.
Right, so Messages, FaceTime, Calendar,
but then there's
sure.
These built-in apps here. Why are there two separate categories of built-in apps?
And the second one is Music, TV, Photos, Camera. That's one thing. I don't get why Camera's so far down.
Yeah, I agree.
Because I feel like the camera settings pane is pretty fleshed out now. And like a lot of the times people want to change camera settings. There's a lot of them now. Yeah. I would move that a lot further up, personally.
No, I agree. And then also you get into like here's in the camera settings and there's just like there's no more icons. Like the icons, this is backwards. The icons on the homepage are nice that you can like quickly see. But you get into camera and you see like, you know, oh, the video frame rate and the slow and the whatever, like icons there would also really help you to figure out what you're looking at.
Because it's just a matter of visually identifying things quickly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of grouping things. It's like, okay, these things should be similar and easily identifiable with a visual icon. Now, a lot of the icons are just the icon of the app, right? So that's fair enough. That's easy. But in something like Mac OS, I think this absolutely needs to change. Ugh. Because the macOS settings are a nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that apparently that might happen, which honestly, if that happens, is going to rescue macOS.
Yeah, it needs
this
to happen.
This is unacceptable. I can't find anything anymore.
Yeah.
Even stuff like turning off... Okay, here, I'm going to quiz you. We're going to do a little test.
Oh, okay.
So, you know how your screen by default is going to turn off after like 2 minutes?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I hate that. Now, granted, this is also because I shoot B-roll a lot. But on every single device, I set it to never turn the screen off.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to go off, well, on my desktop, it's an hour. But on a laptop, it's like, I'm just going to close the screen. So I don't want it to automatically go off.
Yeah.
So every single time, I'm like, where the hell is that setting?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
I think I know the answer because I've had to do this before, but every...
I've done it literally 50 times a year because I set up so many Macs, but you tell me how
every
to do
time
it.
I try, I'm pretty sure it's in lock screen, right? I'm pretty sure, yeah, so it's in
good
lock
one.
Screen.
You got it.
But every time I do it, I always think like, oh, let me go into like displays because it's like turning the display off. Let me, that makes sense. Or I'm like, oh, screensaver. I don't want the screensaver to go on. Let me go to screensaver.
And that's the thing,
like,
is
that
the,
always get,
the,
or energy
the,
saver.
The screensaver and the lock screen used to be put together. And they were in energy saver.
Yeah.
That makes sense to me because, I mean, first of all, it was like that for 20 years.
Yeah.
So, like, there is a fair amount of, even if the old settings was bad, it was consistent.
Yeah.
And that's what we're now missing. So, if you want to change something about your lock screen, the lock screen having the screen saver and the turning your display off is very confusing to me. It always takes me like 3 or 4 attempts to remember, oh, it's under lock screen for some reason.
Yep, yep.
And because screen saver and lock screen and like the whole like timing thing is so similar, they kind of require you to like go back and forth, because like right now I have it set where my display will sleep before the screensaver starts, but you can't change both of those settings in the same pane like you used to be able to do. So now there's actually a little window that's popping up here that says display will sleep before screensaver starts, and it has a button that redirects you to the other settings pane.
Yeah.
And I hate that. That's awful. There's so many things that they made worse in this new settings app. Even general has gotten way more confusing. And like storage, they put storage in here. They got rid of the whole about this Mac page and moved it all into system settings. And I'll never forgive them for that. Because the old about this Mac, like what we had in Big Sur.
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. That was perfect. You could see the specs of your machine. That was honestly my favorite part. You get to admire your interesting spec, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when you buy it on eBay and you're like, I have 32 gigabytes of RAM. And you're like, oh, look at my graphics card. That's nice. You don't get that anymore. You don't get to see... Or the storage pane in the About This Mac.
Yeah.
In macOS Big Sur was god tier. I love that so much. But now you have, I swear they had a different, no, it's still, it's under general.
What are you looking for, storage?
Storage, yeah. So you have, first of all, storage should not be a submenu. I don't think that should be in general. I would personally break out storage into its own, like, icon.
Yeah.
If I were Apple. And I don't know, it's just worse. It doesn't do as much. And you typically end up having to like open other windows or something. Like, oh god, I have to close it. I'm getting too mad. I just hate it. So they gotta fix that.
Yeah, I mean, this, no one liked the new settings app on macOS when it launched. I don't know why people give the settings app on iOS a pass. I mean, it's been basically the same since, you know, the first version, but now there's so much stuff in there. I just want to say one last thing about this. Why is the setting for your TV provider that you will never change in your life not under TV?
That's a very good point. I just want to ask that.
Why is that? Why is that its own? It's its own category of just that one item. Why is that there?
That is a really good point.
So dumb.
Why is that not under TV? What the hell?
Well, I don't see. That's what I'm saying. I don't get why people give, or maybe they don't, but I feel like people hate on the macOS settings app as they should. And I get that it just, it's a recent thing that they recently changed it and they made it worse. But I still feel like people give the settings app on iOS and iPadOS too much of a pass. And that really, so that honestly, a redesigned settings app across the board would be a big improvement, like bigger than you'd think from like, oh, it's just the settings app. Like it would be a big improvement.
I 100% agree with you on that. And I did not realize that. I mean, I've seen the TV provider. Yeah. I've literally never used it. Yeah. Not once.
Yeah.
I never even set it up.
Yeah, yeah.
So why is that its own category?
Exactly.
there's certain things that should not be a submenu. They need to be their own category. And then there's other things where why are they a category at all? And then now that you get so many default apps and so many additional apps, my settings app is massive. There's so much in there, and it's so hard to find what you're looking for. I don't envy the engineers who have to work on that, because there are a lot of settings that need to be able to be changed. So, like, yeah, I get that it's going to have to be a pretty big and complicated app, but they really need to have just, like, a bunch of UX people just sit down and look at it and say, look, we need to just think like normal people, not like software engineers, and we need to just make this make some fucking sense.
Okay, wait, I need to say one more thing about this because I'm having a lot of fun with this. If you want to configure a Google account or an Outlook account or whatever, you know, to do your, like, the built-in mail app, contacts app, whatever, the way that you can do that is either you can go into, you can go into mail, and then you can go into accounts, and you'll see that I have 6 accounts on here, or you can go into contacts, and then you go into accounts, and you'll see the exact same 6 accounts are there. Or you can go into calendar and go into accounts, and it's the same 6 accounts. Or you can go into notes and then accounts, and it's the same 6 accounts. Or you can go into reminders and then accounts, and it's the same 6 accounts.
How are you still going? I kept thinking that there was going to be the last one. How are there 6 of them?
It's the exact same page that it takes you to. And I get it. It's like, oh, you want to add a mail account. You want to add an account for reminders specifically. I don't know why you want to do that. Why can't there be one page for all of your accounts, all of your third party iCloud's its own thing, but all your third party accounts, that can be its own thing. It doesn't need to be 6 different ways to get to it.
Yeah, what?
It's weird. It's very weird.
Here's what I'm wondering is when you go into those accounts, does it allow you? Yeah.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing, because in those accounts, you can enable and disable all of those different applications. So that really should just be one thing called accounts.
Yeah.
With checkboxes, which it has, but it just buries them all in the different apps for no obvious reason.
It's we could go on and on about the weirdness of the settings app, but like, unironically, I think this is just proof that Apple needs to do something to the settings app.
Yeah, that could honestly be the biggest feature at WWDC. AI, great. Fix the settings app, that's phenomenal.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Dude, I'm excited. I mean, I think with our last few minutes here, let's talk about our plan for tomorrow, shall we?
Yes.
So tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific time, you guys are just going to have to figure out what the time zone is for you, because I'm not doing all that math. We got people in Brazil and Timbuktu and everything coming on in the chat here, supposedly.
Supposedly.
They're probably all in, like, Wisconsin, just typing names. And don't worry about that. Yeah. But if you guys want to join us, which you should, we are going to be live 30 minutes before the WWDC keynote tomorrow. I don't know if we should probably do a bingo.
Yeah, we can do a bingo.
We'll do a bingo. A little bit of bingo, yeah.
Yeah, I reckon.
I reckon a bit of bingo.
Yeah, right?
Oh, yeah.
I hope there's no British people watching this.
No, I didn't see any. Actually, I did see a couple of UK. Oh, look at that. We've got a UK.
All right. Well, hopefully you weren't offended.
We're in the United Kingdom, love. You've got your fish and chips. 6 p.m. Go down to the pub.
Yeah, get a pint.
Get a pint and watch a WWDC.
Cheeky pint with the boys.
A cheeky pint with the lads.
Yeah.
And all of the UK audience is gone.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's okay.
Here's the thing. British people, if you're watching, you have to know, right, that you just have to accept that people are allowed to make fun of you. It's like Americans, right? You can make fun of Americans. That it's not possible to be offensive when you... Well, I don't want to say that.
Yeah.
But, like, having a bit of a laugh...
Yeah.
At the expense of Americans, we're not... Like, we are in no position to complain about that. And Brits are in the same role. Yeah. And I know... Because in the past, I've done, like, a little joking British accent, and people have left comments. They've said, you shouldn't do that. And I say, why the hell not? What have you... You guys colonized the entire world... And then failed.
Yeah, it's like we declared our independence. Yep. We should have the right to, you know,
make fun of them.
Get
a
back
bit.
At them a little.
You know, yeah, little they make bit. Fun of French people all the time. Yeah. Why are they allowed to make fun of French people and we're not allowed to make fun of them?
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, not to mention we made fun of French people a little bit earlier, but
well, they deserve it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's all
it's good. All in good fun. You know, you gotta go, to the American University and bring me back a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, half an hour before WWDC, come join us. We're going to do bingo. We're gonna go over our recap expectations. We'll hang out with you guys in the chat. When the show actually starts, we're not allowed to stream WWDC. I feel like we say this literally 100,000 times.
Yeah.
And every single time people are like, why aren't you streaming it?
Yeah.
Hey, where's the stream? You guys should embed the stream.
We tried. We did one time.
WWDC 2020.
Yeah, we did it for like 2 minutes and then your channel got striked.
They nuked it real quick.
And then we just watched it by ourselves.
Yeah, because at that point the stream was toast, so we were like, "All right, well, screw it."
Yeah,
we just sat in our StreamYard chat, and we just watched it, sad and alone. But anyway, so we'll sync it up with you guys. Usually, some people go watch on their own and then come back afterwards. Some people like to stick around. We try not to yap too much during the actual keynote. We only talk when the stuff that's boring is going on.
Yeah.
And I think we do a pretty good job at identifying that because everyone in the chat is also bored when we're bored. So yeah. I think it's a good time. I recommend syncing up the streams, you know, get them in a side-by-side split screen iPad OS window, The most perfect user interface ever made.
Uh-huh.
Get them side by side. It's great. But then after the show, we'll be around for a little bit while I download the betas and get ready to make some videos. And should be a good time.
Yeah.
I'll schedule the stream right after this. So you can set a reminder based on whatever time that is for you. Whether you're in Canada, whether you're in bloody old England, or whether you're in Paris, France, you will be good to go.
Yes. So definitely come by tomorrow. It'll be a lot of fun. Help us make the bingo board, hang out. Mm. And we're looking forward to it.
Oh, look at that. We've been called out by the Brits.
The accent. Soccer instead of football.
Football, love.
Yeah.
Oi, mate, we're going to go in a bit of a football around.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
I reckon.
A little footy. I think they call it like footy. No, uh-huh. Is that something else? That's something.
I don't know what footy you've done in bloody old England, but I don't know about that.
Maybe we won't talk about that.
I don't know about that. Noah's got some secrets, some skeletons in the old closet.
We won't talk about that one.
Oh my gosh. Well, anyway, it's going to be a great time. We hope to see you guys tomorrow. And what's not tomorrow, what's going to happen right now is a segue to us ending the show very smoothly.
That was, you had a little bit of a kernel panic there for a few seconds, but you picked it up. That was good.
I had to do a cheeky reboot, a bit of a reboot, I reckon.
Oh, jeez. All right, let's go before we get canceled.
Well, I've been your bloody old host, Luke Miani, because that's how they always say it. They are incapable of pronouncing an Italian last name.
Luke Miani.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's how British people, The few British people that I've talked to, they always say, "Are you Luke Miani?"
That's really funny. What would they say? Noah Rubin. I don't know. It's not as
Rubin.
Funny. Rubin, yeah.
No, it's kind of just like a little cheeky.
A little bit like Rubin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nar Rubin.
Oh, yeah. Nar Rubin.
Yeah, that's for our friends down in Sydney.
Yeah.
They're like, "Oh, look at this. We've got Luke Miani and Nar Rubin. What a great time. Can't wait to catch the stream.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to get a new iPad Pro."
I'm not good at that accent. I'm not even going to try.
No, that's a tough one. It's anyway, one. I've been your host, Luke Miani.
And I've been your host, Noah Rubin.
And we will see you guys tomorrow.